engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always, the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot accept, because it neither sees nor knows it. But you know it, because it remains with you and will be in you." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. So we say in the Creed, and so we acknowledge with the entire Christian world, that God is one in three persons, and that the Holy Spirit is equal to the Father in power, in knowledge, in divinity, in strength, in holiness, in love. The Holy Spirit is God. He's not the Father, he's not the Son. But at the same time, there are not three gods, but only one, the mystery of the Trinity. And today we invoke the Holy Spirit. We ask the Holy Spirit to come, because we have a major choice to make in this country. At every level of government, we have a major choice to make. And we want to invoke the Spirit on the United States of America, and by extension, on the whole world. We want to invoke the Spirit on the minds and hearts of the voters. We want to invoke the Spirit of strength. We want to invoke the Spirit because Jesus promised him as a gift from him and the Father. He promised him and he sent him. We know the gift of Pentecost, those tongues of fire, that boldness that filled the apostles, and they went out and they preached to the whole world. As we continue to do to this day, we pray for that very same Spirit, because it's that same Spirit that is promised and given to us. That Spirit came to you and me in baptism. That Spirit came to you and me in confirmation. That Spirit comes every day because he anoints us for a mission in this world, and that mission includes voting, includes transforming our nation for the better, includes bringing this culture of death to a culture of life, bringing about more freedom, more goodness and peace and justice and love and life. There are seven traditional gifts of the Holy Spirit articulated in the 11th chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah, from which we read in the first reading. Wisdom, understanding, counsel, strength, knowledge, fear of the Lord, piety. These sevenfold gifts do something to us, and they do something to the world. What better way to begin a novena of masses for this election than to ask that these gifts be given to the voters? As we say in the daily election prayer, which I invite you also to pray each day, and which we will say, I have it here, these little prayer cards we will say at the end of Mass together, it asks that the voters be awakened to realize that they're not called to be a sect fleeing the world, but rather a community of faith renewing the world. That's what the Spirit does. He awakens faith in us. Faith is a key gift of the Spirit. He gives us faith, hope, and love, right? And filling us with faith, he then sends us on mission to spread that faith and to defend that faith. So we're not called to be isolated in a cave. We're not called to follow the mistaken idea of those who think that religion has nothing to do with politics. It has a lot to do with it. It sends us into the world to change the world. The Lord said, "I'm not taking them out of the world. I'm consecrating them in the truth. Your word is truth." And we're filled with the Spirit to proclaim that word, that the voters may realize that they are Christians through and through. And of course, those that are of different non-Christian religions, they still are called to be faithful followers of God. That doesn't change when we enter the voting booth. The same hands that we lift up in prayer are the hands that fill out the ballot. The same eyes that read God's word are the eyes that read the names on the ballot. We're consistent. We are to vote according to the same conscience with which we do all our other activity. Jesus is Lord of every facet of our lives, not just our time in church, but our work, our leisure, our family activity, and indeed our political activity. He is Lord of the voting booth. He is Lord of the voter. So the voters need these gifts of the Spirit. You know, the Spirit, let me just reflect on some of the things that these gifts that Isaiah recounts and that Christian theologians have reflected on for centuries. What do they do to us? Well, the gift of wisdom helps us to understand things from God's perspective, helps us to understand the things of God. And when we understand things from God's perspective, then we can judge rightly the things of human affairs, including elections, including voting, including the kind of choices we face. We can understand the things of human affairs according to God's truth. So if the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life, the Lord and giver of life, well, then we vote in a way that affirms life. We can't vote for a party, a platform, or a policy that would destroy innocent life deliberately, like from abortion. That's disqualified. That's completely contrary to the ways of the Spirit. This gift of understanding further helps us to penetrate the meaning of the things God has created and placed around us, especially as those relate to our eternal salvation. Counsel, very important. How do we make decisions? Primarily, again, in the matters of our salvation. And the gift of strength or fortitude. When we are trying to do the right thing, including taking our political stands, fortitude is a firmness of the mind in doing good and rejecting evil. A firmness, a determination. God keeps us on that path even if the winds are not at our back but in our face, even if there are big obstacles and mountains to climb and enemies attacking us. Fortitude keeps us strong and firm on that path, overcoming obstacles, facing dangers, taking risks. It's not enough, in other words, and the Spirit doesn't stop at helping us understand what is right and good. He gives to our will the strength to continue choosing the good, even when there's a big price to pay. The martyrs had fortitude not to renounce the faith, even when someone was going to take their lives. So we need fortitude in the midst of these battles that we face. So many people so deceived all around us. The media that tries to distract, confuse, and discourage. This is what they try to do. We have fortitude in working for the candidates who stand up for life, who stand up for freedom and family, who stand up for America. Fortitude in the midst of any difficulty. These gifts of knowledge and piety and fear of the Lord. You know, piety, we reverence God like his children. And together with fear of the Lord, it's not the fear of a slave toward his master. It's more the fear of a son or daughter not wanting to offend their father. And so we have these gifts that inspire this reverence. And if we have reverence for God, we have reverence for the things that God has established on the earth. And as we read in Paul's letter to the Romans, he's established even civil authority. It's his gift. It's his creation. We're called to be good citizens of earth as well as good citizens of heaven. And so we have a reverence for the very existence of civil authority. We have a reverence for the solemn duty to vote. These are all things that the gifts of the Spirit does to us, to our mind and to our heart. Again, this reaches broadly, it covers all the different things of God and the truths of the faith. and the means necessary for salvation, but here we're applying it to one aspect of our lives, and that is our responsibility to carry out the duties of a good citizen. Now, in particular, I want to talk about how this works for our United States senators. You know, this is a pretty exclusive group. 100 men and women who comprise this, well, it's considered the greatest deliberative body in the world. And so therefore, you want the gifts of the Spirit. You want good judgment, right? Fortitude, standing against opposition and evil, wisdom to discern. What's the right way to conduct our human affairs? The Senate. It's a lawmaking body. It's the body that approves judges and approves other appointments on the federal level. It's an important body of men and women. Got to be smart, tough, experienced. 100 Americans, just 100 of them, making key decisions. I mean, anything that's signed into federal law, it's got to be approved by at least a majority of the Senate. And they make a lot of important decisions, and they have a lot of debates. And right now, today, right before our eyes, we see them carrying out one of their key duties, one of their chief responsibilities. Today, they'll be debating, and tonight, hopefully by tonight, likely by tonight, voting on the newest Supreme Court justice, Judge Amy Coney Barrett. This process has been underway now for some weeks, as you know. And today, they're having this debate on the full floor of the Senate. There were the hearings in the Judiciary Committee, but now it's gone to the full Senate for consideration. And they have 30 hours to debate this. The clock started yesterday, and we have by tonight, hopefully, this decision. This is a decision with generational consequences. A person can serve on the court for decades. It's a lifetime appointment, as are all the federal judgeships. So we pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on them for this task today. But I want to consider also the fact that 1/3 of the Senate every 2 years, as in this election included, are up for re-election. They can either run to seek another 6-year term. The senators have 6-year terms. President, as you know, has a 4-year term. Senators have a 6-year terms. And 1/3 of the Senate, about 34 are up for re-election. Either they will seek another term or they've already decided that they will not run and therefore two other people will compete for that seat. These are important elections. Depending on what kind of senator you elect, and I'm going to read the states that are having Senate elections, you should know, of course, if you're living in a state in which one of your U.S. senators, every state has 2 senators, right? Usually in any given election year, only one of those 2, if any. Plenty of states, most states, don't have Senate elections on any given election year. 1/3 of them do. And usually that means one of the 2 senators is up for re-election that year. The second senator, it may have been last time around, it may be next time around or 2 times from now. This is how it changes. And in this case, this year, there is one state that has 2 Senate races at the same time. Sometimes circumstances bring that about. You know who it is, right? Those of you that live in Georgia. Georgia got 2 Senate races. So important. All right. So you think about your Senate races and you've got to think, number one, you know, what kind of legislation do these men and women want? And you know, we have, and we've talked about our website, votinginfo.org, where you have the, you know, again, and this is part of our devotion to the Holy Spirit, our worship of the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of truth, as Jesus said in the gospel. He's a Spirit that brings knowledge. Thanks to the Holy Spirit, we should always thirst to know more. Thirst to increase our understanding. Now, some people invoke the Holy Spirit and they think that that's an alternative to doing their homework. They think God gets them off the hook. They think they'd be given a shortcut. In other words, oh, come, Holy Spirit, I believe in you. So you know what? Imagine if you go through school like this. Holy Spirit, you know, you're the source of all knowledge and truth. Why don't you just put the information in my head and I won't bother to study for my exams. I'm not going to prepare to write my paper because Holy Spirit, you could dictate it to me. Nah, that's not how the Holy Spirit works. Sure, the Spirit gives us inspirations and insights and whatnot, but he doesn't exempt us from the hard work we have to do. He gave us a brain and he wants us to use it. He gave us eyes. We learned how to read, and he puts all sorts of information in front of us. In fact, nowadays, we have more information at our fingertips. We have more information on our smartphones than ever in human history any person has ever been able to have at their fingertips. We've got to use it. And therefore, we have to investigate and search and research and do our homework on and learn about these candidates and the ballots, the initiatives that are on the ballot. You can even look at your own ballot ahead of time, Ballotpedia. There's so much information. There's so much understanding. There's so much knowledge to be gained. The Holy Spirit wants us to work hard. He'll give us inspiration. He wants us to work hard to learn. So we got to learn about our United States senators and what kind of votes, if they're incumbent, if they're already in the Senate, if they've had one or more terms, some of them have had many terms, some of them have been in there for decades, they have a long voting record. At votinginfo.org, you can look that up, see how they actually voted on things like the freedom of religion or the right to life or any number of other things. We do our research. We do our homework. We think about the legislation. And then we also think about what kind of judges they would appoint. Do they believe, as our president does, that a judge should be applying the law and the Constitution, not trying to change them, not writing their own opinion? You want to change them, go over to the legislature. We have to know what kind of judges they want to appoint or they want to confirm. These are the states, my friends, we call in a special way the power and wisdom of the Holy Spirit on the voters of these states who are electing United States senators. Alabama, Michigan, New Hampshire, Minnesota, Maine, Montana, Iowa, Colorado, South Carolina, Kentucky, Arizona, two in Georgia, Kansas, New Jersey, Delaware, in Illinois, Massachusetts, Oregon, Rhode Island, New Mexico, Virginia, Tennessee, West Virginia, Louisiana, Texas, Arkansas, Wyoming, Mississippi, Oklahoma, Idaho, South Dakota, Nebraska, Alaska, and North Carolina. Those are the states that are having U.S. Senate races. Now, if you are in those states or you know people in those states, urge them. Do your homework. Get involved. Vote. Vote pro-life. Friends, we invoke the Holy Spirit also because, as Jesus said in that gospel passage, the Spirit of truth cannot be accepted by the world. But you accept him. You know him. The world does not know him, but you know him. And in conclusion, it reminds me of a conversation I had with a senator a good many years ago, a good friend of the pro-life movement. A senator told me, "Father Frank, the division that we see in the Senate as we have these debates, as we have these battles, really boils down to this. It's not just a difference of opinion on the issues." Here's what he told me, and this ties right in with this gospel and should be a strong motive for our constant prayer to the Holy Spirit for these men and women, these special 100 men and women, one-third of whom will be chosen in this election. And brothers and sisters, we need to increase the number of pro-life senators. Here's what this senator told me. He said, "Father Frank, it's not just a matter of senators disagreeing on the issues. It is a battle. It is a divide between those who believe in God and those who do not." That's pretty serious a division. If we believe in God, we are going to submit our decisions to him. We will seek his wisdom, seek his spirit, seek his sevenfold gifts, knowledge and wisdom and understanding and fortitude and piety and fear of the Lord. Don't believe in God? Well, then in whom do you believe? Yourself? Let's pray. that faith may guide these men and women in their important duties, and may guide the voters to elect the kind of people this country needs at this point in time. Indeed, come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, guide and confirm us in your love. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.